distinction. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
This is the Brad and Britt cast. We're glad you are with us. We apologize for what happened yesterday. What a complete breakdown on my end, on my computer.
Oh, wow.
And for that, I am sorry, but I've paid the ransomware. And I've bought myself back. And, well, I don't know.
The saddest thing is that they completely solved the Republican Party has the Marjorie Taylor Greene situation, so we can't really even comment on it. I mean, it's all been fixed to this point, right?
Well, yeah. Why don't you explain how they finally said enough is enough? They are holding meetings right now on whether to expel her. They're doing the right thing, and the country. Oh, yeah. Am I wrong? Did I miss something?
We didn't get to say this yesterday because we were in such arrears on technical stuff. When the word came down of McConnell and McCarthy condemning her in the harshest terms possible, her anti-Semitism and her denial, the Holocaust stuff, and she doubled and tripled and quadrupled down. And now, Brad, the shocking stuff that's been coming out is the only reason they did this is because there were a bunch of donors that were like, I'm not sure if we're going to give you guys money if you keep giving the okie doke to this shit.
Well, so I would like to know the specific religious makeup of the Republican donors who said this is a bridge too far. Because right now in this country and all over the world, but in this country, we'll just stay in the United States, we'll stay domestic. We're dividing up against ourselves in all kinds of ways. And certainly in the Jewish community, and as you know, I am the spokesman for all Jews. Right.
King of the Jews.
There has been for years, and it certainly exploded kind of during the Trump era, of right-wing, orthodox, quote-unquote, extreme conservative Jews. Because normally conservative Judaism is the middle ground. In the three, you know, it's reform, conservative in the middle, orthodox. So I'm using the word conservative now, pushing it back over to the right, where it kind of belongs for this discussion. Right. And they've been big donors to the Republican Party. A lot of Jews loving Trump because he moved the embassy. Yeah. He did all that kind of shit. He sucked up to Netanyahu. It was kind of a contest. Who do I suck up to more today, Netanyahu or Putin? And the vast majority of American Judaism was not particularly thrilled with that. So here we are, past Trump's presidency, and anti-Semitism is blooming all over the world in a way that we haven't seen in our lifetimes, right? Not since the 1930s, not since the 1940s, has it been this open and blatant. And we know where we can place the primary blame. But this marriage between Orthodox Jews and fundamentalist evangelical Christians over we love the Israel the most, although I'm just guessing at somewhere down the line, maybe those evangelical Christians might kind of deviate from that love of Israel and Jews when the right time comes, when the right calendar page is ripped off, they might not be so thrilled. But right now it's great. And who do they have appear out of the woods, out of the ground? Marjorie Taylor Greene, a complete racist, gap-toothed, moronic. No, she's not really a stupid woman. Don't call her that. She's not stupid. She has a degree. Shut up. She's an idiot.
Where does she have a degree from?
I don't know. I don't know. But usually that's the first, you know, never call somebody stupid, blah, blah, blah. And so she bubbles up from nowhere and grabs this. And, you know, the rest of the world, the rest of the United, we're all caught. Well, don't talk about it. It'll just help her raise more money. Then if you let it go. Well, obviously you can't not talk about it. You can't ignore it. And again, we have to go back to a training camp where we learn blocking and tackling. And blocking and tackling with someone like this is all about why are they able to do what they're doing in public. Why are they able to be this way? And it's because a lot of people agree with her. A lot of people
they dig the message. There's no doubt about it.
They dig the message. None of this, oh, we're outraged. No, they're sending her money. That's the ultimate expression of I agree with you. You've got a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Marjorie Taylor Greene, speaking for, quote, intelligent Jews. Smart Jews know that things were really, really bad in Germany in the 30s and 40s. Well, thank you. Thank you. We needed you. Thank you. Same as making people wear masks now, or asking them to, or encouraging them to. It's the same thing. Fuck you. There's no other response. It's a two-word response. It's simple.
In the Jewish community, if I may use that in the broadest terms, is it now like a sense of the real Jews? They're the ones that support Donald Trump and all that he does. I don't know what you other guys are doing over there.
I appreciate the attempt to place that kind of idiotic labeling over. Well, Judaism, as it is placed over patriotism and the general public, right? Right.
Exactly.
And you're right. What you're saying is not possible, but I've never heard anything even remotely close to that. But that being said, you may be way early in thinking.
I usually am. Well, I think that I didn't get to say this yesterday, but I feel like the next step for her, now that she's been rebuked by McConnell and McCarthy, and again,
not really.
Let's make this very clear. How courageous were those two men in striking her down? How courageous an act was
she? She wasn't struck down. It wasn't a rebuke. Crazy. She still has her seat in Congress. She should be kicked out. And by the way, the best recent example of someone like this was Steve King from Iowa. I mean, Steve King was just a flat-out moronic racist.
And he absolutely.
But here's the problem. He kept getting reelected in that one district in Iowa that he represented for many, many years. And the entire state of Iowa is not a right-wing hotbed. It just isn't. But like North Carolina and a lot of other states, the more rural you get, the redder you get. And that was that district. So they kept reelecting him. And every time he would say something racist, they would let him go. They would let him get away with it. But underneath, they were kind of plotting to finally find someone in a primary to take him out. And it finally happened. But he was in Congress for a long time. And I don't think we can stand 10 terms of Marjorie Taylor Greene before a person is found who can defeat her in a primary. And I guess how you would defeat her in a primary right now would be you have to be even crazier than her, right?
Good luck.
You would have to appeal to the good sense of people in that Northwest Georgia. Yeah.
In the Cedartown, a greater Cedartown area. I don't see that happening.
And by the way, I checked this. I always want to be accurate when I make these charges. The movie Deliverance was not filmed in what is her district. It was filmed in the northeast corner of Georgia. She represents a district in the northwest corner. But I'm just guessing it takes about a half hour to move from district to district. So when it came time to hire extras to be in Deliverance, the mouth breathing, drooling Central Casting Corporation didn't have to fly people in from California or New York to be in the movie.
They could just bring them
in on a bus.
The kid with the banjo did not have a SAG card. Yeah, that's. I think you're absolutely 100% right about that.
Right,
for sure. Right. But they don't. I mean, again, this is probably the most accurate headline. The GOP has no clue what to do about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, this is your monster, Dr. Frankenstein. This is your monster, and you can say again when they absolutely positively had to in the most mild terms possible. You know, McCarthy and McConnell, oh, it's disgusting, and we're just so troubled by what she said and doubled and tripled. But they really didn't do anything to her, as you point out, because she's nothing. She's not. They can't take any committees away from her. They can't, like, take her office and put it in the basement. It's probably already next to the boiler. There's not much they can do. And frankly, they need her. They want her to be around. And I think the solution now is, now that she's been mildly slapped on the wrist by her two daddies there, they have to get her a photo op with the big daddy at Mar-a-Lago or Jersey, and they've got to be having the lunch, and then he's got to be drinking a Diet Coke and put his arm around her. It's okay, Marjorie. I still love you, and that's all that matters.
I want to come at it from a different point of view. Put the headline up again so I can look at it for folks who can't see us. The headline in the Washington Post was, the GOP has no clue what to do about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I completely disagree with that headline. They absolutely know what to do.
Oh, yeah.
They know what to do.
They lack the courage to do it.
Will never do it. Yeah. They're afraid to do it. And they will not do it because, again, like Trump, she represents a line of thinking of a lot of people who vote mostly Republican all the time. And they are so afraid. This party is so afraid of that subset of their voters that someone like this can come along out of nowhere, get elected, and no, they know what to do. And by the way, the false equivalency, what about ism of what about AOC? What about Ilhan Omar? What about Rashid Tlaib? You know, they have the fucking answer to that, you right wing horseshit liars. Every time those folks have said things that are anti-Semitic, and by the way, whatever they've said doesn't come close to what Marjorie Taylor Greene said. But every time that they have gone there, you know what's happened? They've been denounced. They've been denounced quickly by the leadership. And not only that, there have been votes taken by the entire House of Representatives to censure their comments. It has been brought up for everyone to make a judgment on. So there is no comparison. There is none. Now, I realize I'm just talking to you and to you, and in the world that we don't live in that would report what I just said, they would just say with a straight face, what about the squad? What about them? Nobody ever says anything about them. And the people who watch Fox, nobody ever. And the answer, no, nobody doesn't not ever say anything about them, but it doesn't matter. So everything is a cousin of the big lie, which is you never tell the truth about what happened. You tell a story about what you want to have happened so that you can react to it and then have a headline, liberals go crazy over liberal, right, but hey, can we do something really light here for a minute?
Well, isn't she booking herself for a prime guest spot in this Donald Trump stadium tour or whatever the fuck he's doing? I mean, you gotta have her on, right?
I'm sure she'll be here, but I find the story, and there's really kind of nothing to it, but maybe there will be. It's one of those we hope that since MGM Studios owns the entire James Bond library and Amazon has just bought MGM, they paid $9 billion for it. Some people think they overpaid for it, which, by the way, it was only worth $5 or $6. So $3 billion to Amazon is what we call a rounding error. Okay. If they did pay too much for it, so it doesn't matter.
That Jeff Bezos, he's known for making terrible business deals.
Right, doesn't know how to.
Right. He's really, that's what he does all the time.
Right. But MGM owns the entire catalog and the program, The Apprentice. And therefore, technically, you might surmise that Jeff Bezos could have his hands, if he wanted to, on those fabulous outtakes that we know exist. Because everybody from Meatloaf to Tom Arnold, everybody that's ever been on that show says Trump was just this vile, racist, nasty piece of shit when the cameras weren't rolling, and there's all these outtakes of him, and they've never been seen because the control of those tapes were with MGM, and they were not letting them out. Well, now you got a new boss, new sheriff in town, and I don't know whether that's going to happen, but what leads me to a conclusion that it just has to happen is because there's always a need for a new James Bond villain, right? They keep writing new movies.
Sure.
They keep putting out new.
And it's always about the villain. It's really not about Bond.
Right. So they may need to start repackaging. And you can just see Jeff Bezos as a Bond villain just re-quoting, recirculating some of the old great lines from the bad guys, including this one. No, Mr. Trump, I expect you to die. And we all know who said that, right?
Exactly.
This is my favorite. A-M-A-Z-O-N always delivers what it promises. That was Blofeld. That was Blofeld.
Nice.
Right? Of course, that was Spectre, I think, when he said it. So there's a lot of potential there. And it's just one of those things. I know it's not as important as him getting to be the subject of grand jury activity in New York, which, you know, if that doesn't make, you know, pucker up your anus, I don't know what does, knowing that there's a grand jury seeing all your tax returns and all those kinds of things. And again, I think, Britt, we ought to give ourselves a couple of cookies here because we said 6 years ago, it's almost 6 years ago, that it always was about the tax returns.
Yeah.
It was always about the tax returns. Remember what the first answer was by the defendants? It was, well, you can't tell everything about someone's finances just from their tax returns. You know, there's a lot. Really? Okay. That never made any sense. You'll notice that I don't think that Trump has even bothered now to say that everything that the Manhattan DA and the state of New York is seeing on his taxes, it doesn't count because I'm still under audit. he finally dropped that one because it never meant anything in the first place.
It didn't.
It was completely irrelevant. But to see this guy now stripped of all of the defensive armor that he had because he was president for 4 years, to me, is an utter, complete, total delight. It's wonderful.
Isn't there some part of you that feels like he's going to wiggle out of this? Yeah,
sure. But if his wiggle is going to be, I knew nothing. I had no idea that building in Chicago that says Trump on it was valued at $100 million for for insurance purposes, but it was only worth $10 million for tax purposes. Okay, so I'd only get taxed at $10 million, but when I went to insure it, it was worth 10 times that much. If he thinks that that's going to be able to sell in front of a grand jury, let alone a real jury, if it's heard, or in front of a judge, if this is the kind of trial that it would be, I think he's nuts. I think they've got him on this stuff. Because remember, we've been hearing that for years from everybody associated with him, including Michael Cohen, who was in the room where it happened. He was in the room when Trump surely was bragging constantly about how brilliant he was. But you know what I heard yesterday? There are now two really famous people. Well, there's three, but I'll tell you who the third one is later. There are two really famous people who, in the grandest tradition of the mafia, in the grandest tradition of a mob boss, don't have computers, don't use email, don't send text messages. Those two people are Donald Trump, of course, that's kind of well known, and Wayne LaPierre, the beleaguered head of the NRA. The guy's had that gig since 1991. You know, they threw him on the stand a couple weeks ago, and the NRA just got crushed in court for being full of shit, for thinking they could declare bankruptcy and get out of being taken apart by the Attorney General of New York, who is a very, very busy lady these days.
Yeah.
The judge would have none of it. And I mean, LaPierre is a common criminal embezzler crook. But the fact that he had that job all those years and never wrote anything down, you can just stop the music right there. That's everything you need to know about him. By the way, the third person who doesn't use a computer is Warren Buffett. But he seems to be able to get his message out pretty well, and I don't think that he doesn't use email or anything to hide things. that's just his habit because, you know, the guy's 90 years old. Okay. Right. I'm giving him a pass. And no one is accusing him of crimes like that. So
yeah, I also think that there's like a team of people that will be able to help him out in a pinch if he needed to send an email or something.
Right, exactly. And but in the case of Trump and Wayne LaPierre, could it get any better than that? Could you find two more people who have spent their entire adult working lives trying to lie and scheme and trick and obfuscate and cheat, because the litany of shit that Wayne LaPierre used the NRA for as his personal piggy bank for personal expenses, it's just unending. It's just unending. And that story about him, and he had to defend it, and he had a bullshit story about it. After the Sandy Hook shootings, he was so afraid for his life, he got on a yacht and went floating around in the Bahamas so that he would be safe. And so in court, the lawyer asks him, is that a common practice? Is that part of your job? Well, yes, that was part of my job to be on that yacht after the Sandy Hook shootings. The judge didn't want to hear any of that shit. It didn't work. It didn't work.
But they're both, and I think there's a great commonality. Like you said, they're both very common thugs, and it was all about, oh, there's this bunch of money, and I can grab it. That's what it all came down to, really. It's such a base, thuggish thing. There's no real artistry to it or anything. They didn't even act like that was. There's just this bunch of money. I would like to grab it. I would like to scam people out of the money. I want to take the money out of your pocket and put it into mine. Please, thank you. That's essentially the Donald Trump, the playbook, right? I don't care what I'll give you a bullshit product that you can give your money to. And now, as I said, I think the business now is completely politics. And if you want the Trump endorsement, well, we have our premium package. That's $500,000, and he'll make a robocall for you. And for $1 million, he'll come to your market, and he'll go and he'll have a rally, and he'll do a commercial for you. And I mean, I think there's going to be different premium packages for that.
But here's the problem. The problem is his endorsement is not worth the paper it is written on.
Yeah.
After the primary is over. Okay. It's just not.
And once you get to the general election, sure.
Of course. I mean, do you have the schedule on when he's coming here to North Carolina for that first exciting rally?
I don't have to look that up. I got to see that.
Because I know that next week. Next week. Yeah.
God,
after Memorial Day. Yeah. Well, you don't want to ruin everybody's Memorial Days.
Okay, well, his fat ass is going to be sitting back sucking down some ribs, so he don't want to go ahead and ruin that. I can't wait. I don't have that information as far as when the Trump rally comes. But it's ridiculous. I mean, the it's like a victory tour, right? That's essentially what this is going to be.
I don't think it's going to be a victory. I guess you have
for him
to pretend that it's that. Yeah.
For mentally deranged people, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can just see the signage. You'll put up President Donald J. Trump. It's not illegal to put that up there, which is what he'll say. And he'll do all that kind of crap.
Well, you have all of these surveys and these polls that show the majority of Republicans. A majority of Republicans believe he's the real president. I mean, and they keep and the number keeps going up, Brad. Like every couple of weeks they'll do it. And it's like, oh, it's a couple percent. Well, yeah, I think he's the real guy.
As these recounts come in, it becomes more obvious. Okay.
The thing in Arizona is just a fever swamp of just awfulness right now. I always thought it looks like Arizona, to me, is the test tube baby for the United States of Trump or the Trump States of America or whatever new confederacy is going to come out of this. That's what it seems like.
Arizona, like the lab in Wuhan, apparently has had a spill, an accident, and it seems to be spreading all over the country.
Right.
And in the case of Arizona, we know it's on purpose. We have no idea what happened in China. And if we could just address another just nonstop line of horse shit and spiking the football, and we were right all along crap of because there is growing evidence that there is no evidence that an animal exists that may have passed on the original COVID-19 virus a couple of years ago, and that three people got sick from something in November of 2019. We don't know what it is. Therefore, Trump was right. Fox was right. Everybody was right that said it was on purpose and they did it on purpose. And now the liberals are pretending that they never said that and that they're just discovering this for the first time and blah, 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 blah. On you go. And Fauci needs to be fired and he's funding the research. Fuck. This is what they're hanging on. This is what they're hanging on. And it's crap because if I recall us talking about that several times, what we said and what most people were saying was we really don't know. And because Trump went with Kung Flu and China virus and every appeal to racism in trying to tag intentionality onto China and President Xi and the cover-up and the rest, yes, we look like we were deniers of that even being a possibility because we didn't go along with Trump, who really had no real evidence that that was a distinct probability, let alone a possibility, which it was, of course. It always was a possibility. And this is what they're hanging their hat on, as if, and let's play this game. Let's play this game of what if back in January, February of 2020, we definitively knew, we absolutely knew that it happened in a lab in China. They fucked up and they tried to cover it up. What would have been different over the next 10 to 12 months in terms of the way we attacked and defended ourselves against the virus and went forward quickly with the development of the vaccine? You know, the thing that Trump did that any president would have done, but he acts as if he's the only guy that ever thought that we might want to have a vaccine more quickly than 4 or 5 years from now. What do you think would have been really different? Were we going to go to war with China? Were we going to place an embargo on China? No trade with China? No, we wouldn't have. Nothing would have been different. All that would have been was, you know, being sure back then, but we couldn't be sure back then. And we're not sure now. We're not 100% sure. And you can't go to war figuratively when you don't have the facts. And yes, they're covering it up. The cover up indicates they have something to cover up. I get that. We all accept that. But
It was always the case that China was not forthcoming with the origins of it. And that's been said from minute one, that they would not allow independent folks to go in there and check it out. That's been fairly obvious. And I put up the most obnoxious headline from the New York Post thinking you would flip out. Fauci facing calls for resignation after shifting positions on probe. Yes, he's facing calls for resignation from Rand Paul, Tom Cotton, Sean Hannity. Yes, that's who he's facing calls of resignation from. It's not a real thing. It's not a real deal. He hasn't done anything wrong. And I don't know how many people would be dead if Dr. Fauci had not done what he did over the past year for this country. I think he's been an absolute hero in this entire story, no matter how you look at it. And you can cry about this and say, well, if he would just listen. Yeah, if he would just listen to Trump and started drinking some bleach, you know, back last May, everything would have been great.
Well, even worse than that, because it was never likely that thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were going to clear out the shelves, not just of Clorox wipes, but of Clorox bleach itself and start making cocktails with it. What's kind of worse is the promotion, if not in actuality, but in visibility for those several months in the spring and summer of that quack who wasn't a virologist anyway, Scott Atlas.
Scott Atlas. Okay?
And remember, Scott Atlas was a leading proponent of let the virus run wild and we'll get so much herd immunity that everything will be fine. We would have, who knows, 1.5 million, 2 million people dead right now. No question about that. had the kinds of measures that Scott Atlas advocated been used. No masks. Everybody gravitate together. Don't change anything. Let's go back to the way it was before we even knew about this, because the more people get this, most of them won't die, right? Remember that? Most of them won't die. Most of them might not even have symptoms, but we'll build up immunity quickly, and that's how we'll beat this.
Fuck the old people. Fuck those
guys. Fuck the old people. And remember, it was people like Fauci who said, no way, Jose, this is not how you do it.
Yeah. And first of all, it's a basic misunderstanding of what herd immunity is. I mean, it's just a basic, like, they just don't understand it. They throw it out there as a term. They don't know what it is, and they just go, well, herd immunity is when everybody just goes out there and starts coughing and breathing on each other. No, it's not how it works, you dumbasses. That's not what happens. We don't, and we're not having mask burning parties, and we're not doing all of that shit. And yes, there are some of us who are fully vaccinated who are still going to wear the masks when we go into Walmart and we go into grocery stores, because that's how we are, because we happen to care about other people. Sorry, I know that hurts your feelings. I know that's socialist. I know that's Stalinist. I know that's, it's Hitlerian. I know all of those things, but that's just how it is. And you're right. It's the promotion of people like that and all that shit. The revisionist history on this is going to be amazing going forward. The way that Donald Trump had this problem solved for us, Brad, within 90 days of the virus coming to America, that's going to be what they're going to try to forward and try to misinform and disinform with us for years and years and years to come. And now people like Dr. Fauci are finally realizing the wisdom of Donald John Trump Sr. and how right he truly was.
Well, I think the problem may be that people like Fauci, people like you, who still may be inclined to wear a mask indoors,
yeah,
in a setting where they're, you know what you are? You're pro-choice on masks.
Bastard.
You're saying it's up to the individual now at this point and not have any government intervention. And the radical opposite of that is no one should be wearing a mask at all, ever. And no one should say or encourage you to wear a mask under any circumstance. Why do I have to wear a mask on a plane? Blah, 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 all that crap. So they're anti-choice, as they always are. They're anti-choice, not just on that, are they? Right?
It's a matter of convenience.
Let me ask you, are you being pro-life if you don't want anybody to ever be wearing a mask? There are all these people. I've read letters in various pub from immune compromised people who either cannot get the vaccine and they want to, but they really can't get it health reasons.
I know these people.
Right. And if they go out, and they shouldn't have to be locked in their houses forever, if they are circulating and they'll still be wearing a mask, but you don't know that by looking at them. If you certainly have not gotten a shot and you're out there not wearing a mask and you're not immune compromised, you're a piece of shit, because you are exposing people who could easily pick up the coronavirus and get really, really sick. Is it going to affect me or you, the vaccinated people? No, but that's not the point. And if someone out there wants to equate that with Jews wearing yellow stars, not gold stars, don't you like the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene called them gold stars, as in gold star parents who did something wonderful?
Wait a minute. She got history wrong? She was wrong about history?
Everything else she got right. She just got the color of the star wrong, Britt.
Now, remember, as this story was rolled out, if we may back up a little bit, it wasn't that she said it one time. They gave her several opportunities. Now, Marjorie, I don't think you mean to say, oh, no, fuck you. I mean to say it five times harder. No, they're going to put us on trains and gases. And no, Marjorie, I think you don't mean to say that. You're offending. Fuck you. And she would just continue to double, triple, quadruple down. And if you were against her, you were a piece of shit, to the point where that little piece of shit Ben Shapiro had to actually confront her and go, you know, you're really awful and you're doing the wrong things. And she had to scream at that little piece of shit. That's his line for all the awful shit that he defends. That's his line. Finally.
I am so glad that you brought up his name, because here's a guy, young, what is he, about 35, 38?
Something like
probably,
that, yeah.
He's probably 47 now. Like some of these people, you know, they were young. You know, they've been around longer than we may think. They might not be 31 anymore.
It's true.
But Shapiro is a Harvard guy, Jewish guy. I'm sure he's off the charts, pro-Israel, pro-Netanyahu guy.
Sure.
I'm sure he is. He's one of these people that we were talking about earlier on. Hey, guess what? If you want to own Donald Trump, if you want to own the Republican Party, if you want to own them because you believe that the Democratic Party is taking us down the road to being the next Venezuela and other things, you hate everything about Democrat, whatever. Guess what? You own Marjorie Taylor Greene, too. You don't get to put her in the corner. You own that. You know what? The difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, I can't remember who I heard speak of this or where I read this, but I think it's perfect. The Republican Party is a top-down, follow the orders, no room for dissent. We're doing it one way, and doesn't matter what you're in. You're just in. The Democratic Party, of course, is just made up of all these disparate groups,
yeah,
labor unions, racial minorities,
right,
religious minority, just everything. It's all big. It's one big stew. You know, I'm not a member of an organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Who said that? Will Rogers.
The great Will Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
The great somebody. Kenny Rogers, who knew
Kenny
when to
Rogers. Sure. Roy Rogers said
it. Roy Rogers said that.
That's right. And by definition, the Democrats are going to have people like the far lefties, the Ilhan Omars and the AOCs, and they're tolerated. You put up with them. And when they get out of line, you smack them down.
But like you but said, there's no.
But they're still part of your party, but they are not the emblem of your party.
No.
In the case of the Republicans, though, they really are now defined by their worst members.
Absolutely.
There is no getting around that.
That's absolutely
when
true.
You sanction that. That is what you are.
It's no, she. But there's no. That's where the false equivalence is. Like they, when you point out a Marjorie, and they go, "Oh yeah, well, what about the squad?" And blah, 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 they're anti-Semitic. No. It's not the same. There's nobody on. I mean, AOC would not deny the Holocaust. AOC would not equate this. That's bullshit. There's not an equivalence. They just try to pull out the worst example. And like you said, those folks are not driving the train. The Marjorie Taylor Greens, because they don't know what to do with her, because they created her.
She is driving the Republican train right
now.
She is. You are so right. And if there's no 9/11 style commission that comes into being because somehow no Republicans up to the number 10 will vote for it along with the Democrats, so you don't get to 60 and you don't get a commission, and then the Democrats have to do the investigating themselves with Benghazi-style hearings, which they won't be Benghazi-style, but I'm just using the equivalence there of those were all Republicans who went after Hillary Clinton on those committees because it wasn't a bipartisan aspect of that.
If Hillary Clinton had summon the murderers to go in and kill the folks at Benghazi, then you might have something going on there.
But here is the point. If the Democrats appoint their own commission, then they really need to ask and put on that commission Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and Adam Kitzinger.
Sure.
And people like that. Get those Republicans who won't put up with the bullshit.
Yeah,
and it's not relevant what their political views are on other issues. There's plenty of time to go back and disagree with Liz Cheney and smack her around for God, I'm going to get suspended, aren't I?
No, it's over now. Apologies. Forget it. We just got thrown off YouTube.
Right.
We mean verbally, smack her. Yeah. To be completely clear, we are not advocating for the assault of Liz Cheney in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you for getting that out.
Just want to make sure.
We got that within the minute.
Come on, Google. Don't ban us for every platform. We'll be fine.
Right.
Yesterday marked the first anniversary of the death, the murder of George Floyd. This is the iconic image that's been going around and possibly, I think without question, the photograph of the year was Derek Chauvin with his knee on George Floyd's neck as George Floyd was dying in front of our eyes. This may be one of the images of 2021. For you guys who are listening to the podcast, it is a Marine at the White House holding the door for George Floyd's daughter as his family went to visit the White House. America has changed irrevocably, I think, in the past year, and certainly we're not done. But we've had to take a hard look at ourselves over the past year in ways that certain people were not happy doing. They've had a lot of different things that are going on, including the 100th anniversary of that mob in Tulsa that burned and lynched folks in what was called Black Wall Street at that time. I mean, is any thoughts on the 1 year anniversary of the killing of George Floyd?
Well, get out your cliche-o-meter.
Yeah.
But I think it's really true. A lot has changed and nothing has changed.
Yeah.
I think it really has shaken a lot of people who could look the other way, including you, including me, when these stories would come up. And they continue to come up almost daily of police abuse. It does make you wonder just how many times this has happened and has happened even in the last year where a minority is pulled over in a traffic stop for some reason. And the outcome isn't good, but there's no video of it. So the cop walks. And then that's just been the history of policing since we started driving cars, I guess, 100 years ago. It's not the only part of the story, but it's the most visible and connected to the stories that have happened about other people in the wake of the George Floyd tragedy. And it's horrible. I mean, in my mind, this picture... this picture of Chauvin with his knee on George Floyd's neck is a bookend to Marianne Vecchio's picture taken at Kent State University on May 4th, 1970, of her with her knee on the ground and looking up into the air and crying over the shootings that occurred there. It happened 50 years apart, those two incidents, almost exactly 50 years apart.
Yeah.
And I'm just going by the visceral visual image that goes through my brain. And both of those images did change the country. Not instantly, not overnight, but they did change a lot of, the Vietnam War could not be fought on the same terms that it had been fought on after that day in 1970 by Nixon. He knew he couldn't do it. He knew he couldn't do it because the unrest at home was too great. The cost was too high. And so he pretended because the war didn't just stop a year later. It went on past his presidency.
Yeah, it did.
It's a tough thing to talk about. It's a tough thing to get your arms around. And it's a tough thing for two white guys like us to sit around and think we know what it's like for a black person to be pulled over by a police officer right now. I mean, it just must be frightening.
Oh, yes.
It just must be. Even if there's no reason, if you've done nothing wrong, even if just... I get it. I mean,
there's a number of what if, like the young Frasier lady was saying, if she hadn't shot that video, where would we be now? If she hadn't shot the video of George Floyd taking his final breaths. I mean, there's so many different stair steps to this. And if the jury had not done what they did and listened to the evidence and the family had gotten some sense of justice from this, where would we be? And, you know, there's a million different things there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got cases stacked up. over here on the shelf that are coming up one at a time that are going to be heard in the same context. We have this case out of Louisiana that we just learned about. And this whole thing with police body cam video, holy shit. You want to talk about something that should not be open to interpretation or question. Or if I hear one more time, well, he didn't have his camera on. No. This has to be, the minute you put your uniform on, the thing should be running. You shouldn't be turning it on and turning it off.
Right, and we should have some, we have some sort of standard rules for issuing who gets to see it, like we talk about for years. These 911 tapes that are available immediately when there's no use other than to hear someone begging for their life. There's no use in hearing it. There's no public benefit. But then these we'll show you 20 seconds here, and then we'll edit this here, and then maybe 2 weeks from now.
You can't have
that. That's outrageous, and that is the next fight. But, yeah, we continue to soldier on.
BradandBrit.com.